Well, God is so good.
Amen.
Amen. Everything's on schedule, isn't it? Amen. I said everything's on schedule, isn't it? Everything. Everything's just as it should be. You know, God never is late. God never makes a mistake. He never overlooks anything. He fulfills His word. How many believe that God has a word? Amen. And He's spoken that word. And when you have that word, all guilt is gone. And all future is guaranteed to be good. And the present is wonderful when there's no guilt and you've got a guaranteed future forever that's going to be good. There's nothing else, is there? Because it says in the presence of the Lord there's fullness of joy. We want to talk today about fear. Fear is probably the most devastating tool of Satan. It's the one thing that will eat up all your energy and take away your substance, and it can get a hold of you any day. You can think you've conquered it, and then it can just suddenly get on you, and it can come from any direction. So fear is just the greatest thing to overthrow. Once you've conquered fear, and you must conquer fear, once you've conquered fear, you've conquered everything. Now you're hearing me. Because fear has to do with two things. It has to do with guilt in the past, and certainty about the future. You know, people are afraid of what's going to happen if they're not certain about the future. And fear has to do with punishment. It has to do with the past, the guilt that I've done. So that's all there's to it. Once you've solved fear, and that's why the Bible always addresses, whenever God appears in the Bible, He always addresses the issue of fear. Because it must be gone from the earth. Now, I tell you, I don't want any fear in my life. I don't have any. I don't fear anything. I don't care what it is. The last enemy is, of course, what? Death. And that's the thing that people fear because they don't know what it is. But we know what it is, asleep. You just kind of fall asleep and wake up in the presence of the Lord. That's pretty good. It's better than being here. Really, death is a blessing, isn't it? Blessed are those that die in the Lord. Because they just wake up and, it's like a brand new morning. You know, when we wake up today, the world's just the same as it always, you know, it was yesterday. And, you know, the darkness is still there. And, you know, you can try to pretend like it's getting better, but it's not. Hello. But with God, it's over with. With God, there's no guilt. There is no guilt. And that's fear has to do with guilt. And if there's no guilt, then the future is guaranteed. And when I say guaranteed, that means it's a good future. If there's no guilt, the future is guaranteed to be a good... You know, He said to Abraham, for example, fear not, for I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. In other words, I'll protect you from the enemy. Now, the enemy that's without is not the big enemy. It's the enemy within. The only enemy that really is to be feared is the enemy that's speaking inside of us all the time. Can you hear him? Can you feel him? He's constantly speaking to your mind and to your emotions and to your will and making you afraid. About, you know, well, you didn't do this right, and you're not right there, and you didn't do enough, and you did too much, and you said it wrong, and you shouldn't have done that, and boy, you're never going to be happy now. Can you hear that voice ever? Anybody ever heard that voice? You know, that's a very familiar voice. Well, that voice is gone forever in my life.
Hallelujah.
I don't listen. I mean, it comes. I just don't listen to it. I don't believe that voice. That voice is a lie. I don't believe any guilt. No one can put guilt upon me. Even someone say, you're an awful pastor. That's okay. Praise the Lord. I'll be an awful pastor. That doesn't bother me. I'm not trying to be a good pastor. Hello. I just want to know Jesus. I believe Jesus. Even if I was a bad pastor, I'd still have fun. Hello. What I'm getting at is don't hold on to anything other than God. Don't hold on to anything. I'm not afraid to be a bad mother. Speaking to the mothers now. I'm not afraid to be a bad father. I mean, I don't want to be, but I'm not afraid of it. Because there's no guilt. Because that's been done, dealt with forever. Hello. You see, God doesn't say to the innocent, fear not. He says to the guilty, fear not. Only if you're guilty do you get to hear those words. Anybody here ever been guilty? You know, that's what those words are for. Now, I want to read out of Luke. Luke 1:26. I want you to turn to Luke 1:26. I want to give a little background before we read it. Luke 1:26 is all about Mary and how the angel visits her. You know that Gabriel, that's actually the name of an angel. We're not making up these things about angels and things. There's an actual angel called Gabriel. In fact, Gabriel is a very special angel. That's why we have his name. The reason we do is because this particular angel, by the way, when you name an angel, when you have a name, you actually own it. Did you know that? That God, he owns us because he names us. When Adam named the animals, he owned them. Do you understand that? They're his. Do you understand that? When you can name a thing, you name your own children, that's because it's yours. It belonged to you. Now, God gives us all our names. That's why we all belong to God. Hello. Anyway, so this angel has a name, Gabriel, and it means that he stands in the presence of God. The L in the name always means God. El Shaddai, El. El, that's a name for God. There's different names. Yah, that's another. Jehovah, or Jesus, Yehovah. Yeah, that's another name for God. Okay? Now, Gabriel is the angel that whenever you want to know what God's up to, Gabriel comes and tells you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You cannot read the Bible and know you're going to have a baby named Jesus. Mary couldn't have meditated on the Bible and known she was going to have the baby. You had to have an angel come. I'm telling you something important here. You have to have an angel come to fulfill the word. Because she could read it and she could say, well, some girl's going to have a baby, but I don't know if it's me. And she couldn't meditate forever and ever and then come up with the idea that it was her. There's no way she could have known it was her. An angel had to visit her just as the Lord had to come to me. I remember vividly when the Lord, you know, on many occasions, but I can remember when he came to me and said, this is what's going to happen. Now, that I couldn't get that from meditating. I couldn't just read the Bible and get that. I'm trying to get you to understand. We need more than the Bible. When you read the Bible, you know in general. But then you must, and it isn't just a matter of a rhema. You actually have to have an angel come. You have to have the presence of God come and say to you, I love you. Now, many of you have experienced that. That God personally has come to you and revealed himself and told you something about your own life. And I'm going to tell you, when he does that, he usually says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Whenever Gabriel came to Zechariah, he said it. When he came to the shepherds out in the field, he said it. When he came to Mary, he said it. When he came to Daniel, he said it. He's always saying that because he knows that people are feeling guilty, like, well, maybe, you know, maybe God's showing up to get me. You know, when God appeareth, it might be to spank me. It might be to bawl me out because I made promises that I never kept. I said, I'll follow you and so on, and then I didn't. So maybe the angel's going to come and get me. Say, God has remembered your vow that you didn't keep it, and now thou shalt get it. You know. But no, the angel never comes and says that. Isn't that neat? He comes always to the guilty one and says, it's all right. You know, God will pay the price for you. Now in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, you don't have to turn to it, just stay right there in Luke. But in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, it's tremendous. All of Isaiah is so powerful. I was just thinking of, as I was praying for some of you this week, I was thinking, you've got to read Isaiah. Isaiah is just so powerful, not only at Christmas time, but all the time. This book, Isaiah 40, especially from the 40th chapter on, he starts out, comfort ye my people. Now, why does God want to comfort his people? Who do you want to comfort? You want to comfort those that are uncomfortable, those that are feeling guilty. What makes you uncomfortable but the fact that you didn't measure up? Amen. Now, I want you to say right now with your own mouth, I measure up. Amen. You know, isn't that something? You know, you're saying that right before God. I measure up. Well, you don't. But you're agreeing with God who says the blood of Jesus has covered you, therefore you measure up. So your feelings didn't help you there. I hope they didn't help you. Because I hope you don't feel you measure up. You know, and I hope you don't think you measure up. I hope you realize you're saying that in faith. The Bible says you measure up. So that's comfort. That's comfort because the truth breaks through every lie. So the truth is coming through saying, be comforted, my people. And he's speaking to people that are in trouble. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Why does he repeat it? Because in the Bible, whenever God repeats something, it always indicates you're not going to believe it the first time. No. You know, whenever he says, something twice, it's pay attention to this one because you're going to hear it and then you're not going to hear it. So comfort ye, my people. That doubleness is very typical of the Lord, to emphasize something. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, truly, truly. Could you just say, truly, I say to you, truly, truly. Because he's trying to emphasize that this is going to be hard to believe. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. In other words, it's over. That her iniquity is pardoned. Now that's what brings comfort, to know that there's no sin. I thank God that we all sin, don't you? Don't you thank God that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God? Really, I do. And that we know it. Because, you see, you're not capable of not sinning. Hello. You're not capable of not sinning without the Lord doing it. You know, how many of you have promised, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you. I mean, if everybody else falls away, not me. You know, even if the pastor should fall away, not me. How many of you, well, all right, you didn't think that, but you were thinking, now I'm going to stand alone and for God, and you did for about an hour or a week or a month or, a year, and you were proud of it. And that's why you fell later. And then for years, you went into, you didn't measure up. Because you can't stand before God with any kind of boast. You can only stand before him and go, woe is me, and you love me as the way I am, and I'm going to rejoice because you said to rejoice, knowing that I've sinned, knowing that I've not measured up. I think particularly of teenagers. I think of the young people, because I know when you're a young person, you hear the gospel, you're moved. Your heart is moved. And you just want to say, hey, I want to be a Christian. I'm going to serve God. I mean, not like these other young kids. I mean, I'm going to really go for God, and I'm going to serve him with my business and my marriage and everything. Well, that's what you feel like. That's what you want. But then life comes along, and you get your first Pizza Hut job, and you get that first boyfriend and girlfriend that let you down, disillusioned and everything like this, and it just kind of gets sour. And you kind of give up on God. And you prayed, and you asked God to bring back that boy, and so on and so forth. And it didn't work. God didn't come through. Did you notice? He does not come through. Have you ever found that out? You say, God, no, I don't want to sin. These other kids are sinning, and I'm not going to sin. And then you do, and you call out to God, God, help me not to sin. I said, God, can you hear me? Help me. And he doesn't. Have you noticed? God's like that. I mean, every young person experiences that. I can't understand it, God. I mean, I asked you. I mean, I knew I couldn't do it, but I asked you, and you didn't do it either. He didn't help you. Well, look, that's normal. You have the idea that you can do good. And God doesn't have that idea. He's just kind of waiting for you to wear out. Hello. So you quit and say, help! You know what, God? I don't think I can even be a Christian. He goes, whew, it's about time, when are you going to come to the end of yourself? Hello. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. Young kids are under a lot of guilt because they were going to serve God. They were going to go for God. They were going to do all these wonderful things because they heard the gospel. They were moved by it. And then life gets them bogged down. And then they feel guilty. They feel guilty. They've thought something if they haven't done something. Hello. And one's as bad as the other. Whether you've done it or you thought it, it's just as bad. Just to think it, not to have done it, is bad too, isn't it? Because you thought, I wanted to do it. And when you do it, I mean, it's over with. You did it. But when you're thinking it, it's like, God, I haven't even done it, but I'm thinking it. Why? What's wrong with me? And your mind can get you all messed up. Hello? But God wants you to be free. God hates sadness. Say that. God hates sadness. Therefore, I'll never be sad. Oh, you didn't hear it. You didn't say that second part. God hates sadness. Therefore, I will never be sad. That's it. It's words. How do you conquer the devil? How did Jesus conquer the devil? Words. Words. Out of your mouth, just tell what God wrote down in the book. He hates sadness. He hates people that are miserable. He hates people that are not bearing a lot of fruit. He likes fruit. Say it. I'm going to bear a lot of fruit. That's good to say that, isn't it? Then when you don't, it's okay because you can go to God and say, God, forgive me. Thank you. And now go off again and start bearing fruit again. Because God does it all. And, even if you know that, you might say, well, I know that. But you don't know it. Knowing it up here in the head means nothing. You can know right now you can do nothing, but you'll still go out and do something. So knowing, it isn't here in the head. It's your whole being. You can know all the theology. Even the devil believes in God. Someone says, well, I believe in God. Well, the devil does too. Hello? Even the devil believes in God. That doesn't count. That's not faith. It's what you're doing in your whole being, right? Hello? Come on. Amen. You're not looking smiley again. Don't lose your joy. Now, look, problems are good because they reveal to us who we are and why we need God. Remember, we've said so many times, the law was not given so that people would keep it. The law was never given so people would keep it. The law was given so that you'd turn to Jesus. That, boy, that pleases God. Oh, does that please God? God is not pleased when you keep the law. Are you listening to me? God is not pleased when you keep the law because you're not keeping it. But God is not, that doesn't please God. What pleases him is when you say, God, I didn't keep it, but thank you for forgiving me, for taking care of my guilt, and for guaranteeing me a good future, though I don't deserve it. Hallelujah, thank you for Jesus. That's what pleases God. That's what pleases God. And out of that comes energy. When you have that kind of faith that you're not afraid of guilt, faith replaces fear through love. Love throws out fear and puts faith in its place. Faith, you know, removes all fear. When you have faith, you don't have fear. When you have fear, you don't have faith. Now, it's perfect love casteth out fear. It says in the Bible that God's perfect love, not mine, God's perfect love comes to me and throws out all fear. That's why I'm never afraid. I have not been afraid since 19-something or other. I can't even remember now when it was. But I remember fear used to get a hold of me. And I used to be in fear. I could not, I was paralyzed. I would be driving to, you know, somebody's house to, you know, have a nice pasture visit. And all of a sudden, you know, I'd be driving along and I'd just turn around and go home. You know, because I suddenly didn't want to be a pastor, you know. I mean, I didn't want to go and comfort anybody. I was kind of scared all of a sudden. You know, it would just be come out of the blue. You know, it wouldn't be due to anything particularly. But I'd just paralyze. And, you know, Peggy didn't know that. No one ever knew that. But I just go home and I just get in back in the, almost literally get in the back of the corner of the bedroom and just kind of, you know, hunker down there and go, oh, God, you know. And, you know, I know it would pass. If I'd wait there long enough, it'd kind of go away, you know. Maybe it would be a rainy day and it'd be miserable and the sun might come out one of these days, you know, and I'd get up again. Hello. That's fear. That's dumb. The only reason I mention it is because it's dumb. But it's real. Fear does get a hold of us, sometimes for the oddest reasons. Something inconsequential, kind of embarrassing. But it doesn't matter. I would be paralyzed. And I remember thinking one day, I mean, I know exactly the day, the time, and the hour. I was walking by my garage outside, and all of a sudden this fear just overwhelmed me. And I was thinking, God, how can I be a Christian? How can I call myself a Christian, and I believe in God, and yet I'm afraid? You know, and even though it isn't all the time, it can get me anytime it wants to. You know, it kind of just can come along and get me. And I can never throw it off. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, there's nothing I can do to kind of get it off. And I learned a lot of verses, you know, and could say them. But it didn't help. If I just say the verses, then I'd be afraid because I said the verses and they didn't work. And now I was really scared, you know, because it wasn't even working. Hello, hello. You know, so you can't just overthrow it by some trick. It's a miracle. I knew it was a miracle. And I said to God, in all honesty, God, how can I be a Christian and be afraid? I mean, I'm doing something wrong or something, but that's the way it is. And you know, that God likes that when you talk that way. Because I was being real with him. And I knew I was afraid and I knew I'd never win. I mean, I could see it right then and there. No matter how long I would go, I'd never win. I couldn't get any inches on it. I couldn't gain over it. Now, I hope I'm speaking to some people here. Say amen. Just kind of mumble it. Don't let anybody know you're afraid, but just kind of mumble it out. Because this fear thing can get you in the middle of the night. You know, I used to wake up in the middle of the night, you know, and just, you know, just these things wouldn't even be anything related to daily life. But they just kind of tell me I was afraid. You know, I might be real bold when I went to bed, and then, you know, in the middle of the night, I'd just be scared, you know, and I'd just, oh, Peggy, you know, and she would have to calm me down, you know. And it's like Peggy was strong then, you know, and now just kind of quivering there. Hello. Hello. Come on, that's the way fear can do. And, you know, I'd be seeing stuff or, you know, experiencing things. Some monster be after me or something. You know how little kids are. And, well, that can happen to big kids too, you know. And these things can be chasing you, you know, and your feet won't go. You know, you're trying to run. Hello. Come on, some of you have experienced that. You know, you're trying to fly or something, you know, to get away, and these things are getting you. Hello. Hello. And I can remember seeing, you know, the universe burning up and stuff like this. I mean, vivid stuff. And you wake up, you know, you're trembling because you realize, God, is that real or is that me or what? You know, but anyway, you're scared. And you realize you don't have any power in this world to do anything. And in the daytime, you know, it's, oh, well, you know, it's okay. But, you know, at night, you can't fool those dreams, those nightmares. You know, they just kind of get you when you're not looking. So I would have this and I would think, how can I be a Christian? How could I believe in God and still be afraid? Why would I be afraid of anything? You know, atomic bombs, stuff like that. Why would I be afraid of that? Losing my job, you know. Why would I be afraid of that? Why would I be afraid of people not liking me? Why would I be afraid of, you know, there's just 1,000 things you can be afraid of. And one day, as I was in the yard, something just came to me, and I just was overwhelmed with this fear, and I just confessed to God that I knew I was never going to be able to conquer this. I knew I just could never conquer it. I might as well just quit. I might as well just give up. I might as well stop being phony and fake and just be honest, God. I'm never going to overcome this fear stuff. You know, I'll have to lie to the people, and I'm just tired of it. I think I'll just quit this business because I'm afraid, and I just can't get it on top of it. And as I was talking like that to God, a revelation came to me. I just saw the power of God. Now, I can't explain it to you, but I saw that everything I was afraid of, if it all happened, I mean, I was imagining all of it at once, cumulatively. If everything that I was afraid of happened, I looked at it, because I didn't want to look at it before that time. I was one thing would throw me, but you know, I was thinking of all the things, and it's kind of like God was saying, what are you afraid of? Well, you know, and I was thinking of all of them. And all of a sudden God said, he said something to me, and I realized that if everything that I was afraid of happened, it wouldn't make any difference. And hey, you know, what am I afraid of? And all of a sudden I knew then, there's a little more to it that I'm telling you, but I knew then that I'd never again in my life be afraid. And then that's a big statement. But I knew that I knew that I knew that God was God. Hallelujah. And that nothing in all this world, and now I was thinking of very real things. You know, you got to imagine this was not just thinking of fear in general. I was thinking of very specific kind of things. And that God was able to turn everything to my advantage. That even if the thing happened that I was afraid of, all the things, God would turn all of those to my advantage. You know, I'd never thought about that before. How a thing I was afraid of could actually be to my advantage. And God was showing me himself and his ability and demonstrating to me how great he was. And I knew when I saw that, when I saw how great the Lord was, I was ashamed of myself first because I could say, oh God, why was I afraid? I now realize you're God. And I knew then I'll never be afraid again. And this thought came to me right as I said that, because I said it even. I said, God, I'll never be afraid again. I know fear will never grip me. Now, what I meant was not that I wouldn't be afraid. What I meant was I would never be afraid of being afraid. I would never, and I could picture myself in a pit, kind of going down into a pit, and, you know, just kind of flop down into this pit. And then I couldn't get up. You know, it kind of, like it says in the Bible, your feet like miry clay, you're trying to get out of this pit, you know, and you just can't get out. And I could see that even if I fell into a pit, I could jump right out again because of God. I could see, you know, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid to die or because of something I've done or something I haven't done or people going to see this or catch me at that. And I always used to have these nightmares that people would catch me being a phony. You know, I would come and I would have my notes, you know, for sermon. I'd have all my notes, you know, and then I'd lose them somehow. And, you know, I'd be coming to church and I couldn't find my notes. And I'd say, just wait a minute, I'm going to be right there. And I couldn't find them. Then I'd drive home to get them and the church was almost over and I'd come back, you know, I'd be panicking and, you know, and the people still here, they're still singing, you know. And, you know, I'd have nightmares like that. They were going to catch me being a phony. I mean, I didn't have anything to say. I had nothing to say. Hello. Hello. Well. Those are real fears. Robert, have you ever had anything like that? Fear not, God says. He said it to everybody he met. Don't be afraid. Daniel was scared. John, the revelator, was scared. Anytime God comes in your presence, man, there's fear. I tell you, that's the sign that there's a God. Amen. Because before I met God, I wasn't afraid. Well, I mean, I didn't know I was. I wasn't aware of it. But you know, when you meet God, it's kind of like you're going to have to answer to some, I might not measure up. I might have, you know, failed a lot. In fact, I vividly could think of some things I'd done. You couldn't erase them. You ever tried to erase things that you've done? You know, they just don't erase, you know. You cannot erase that, you know. There were so many things I planned to do. I was going to be such a good husband. In fact, I really was. I mean, I planned on it, you know. I used to think about that. But, I don't know, somehow reality had just never worked out that way. Hello. How many know that our intentions are always way beyond our actions? We intend to do a lot better than we do. But we don't ever quite live up to it. In the next life, though, I'm really going to do good, you know. But this life is already ruined, you know. It's too late. No, that's not true. But that's what you think. You think, how can I ever start again? How could I ever start afresh? Because I've already goofed it up. You know, it's like a pretty page. It's already got ink all over it or something. It's already ruined. Or a new car you buy, and it's got a scratch on it right away. You know, that's terrible, isn't it? Hello. You know, somehow everything you get, you know, the other guy's car's okay, but, you know, when I get one, it always gets a scratch on it right away, you know. The kid will always take a magic marker on the roof or something. Hello. And so, you know, you just want to give up. Hello. Fear not. God's saying, don't ever worry about anything. I mean, don't be anxious about anything. There's no guilt. Ever. No one can accuse you. Oh, that's exciting. Isn't that exciting? Fear not, comfort ye my people. Tell my people that our warfare is ended, that the double's been paid for all our sins. That's a technical term, but it just means God's taken care of everything. God's paid for everything. The double's been paid for all your sins. You don't ever, 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 ever have to worry what whether you're acceptable or not. It's just like I can picture this because I am this way toward my children. I don't care what they do, I love them. I mean, they could do anything. I'd still love them. I'd be angry at them, you know, for doing what they did, but I would love them. Hello. I mean, nothing's going to make me change. Same with Peggy, you know. I mean, nothing's going to make me change. Hello. You can't think of anything. You know, she couldn't be meaner. Hello. No, you understand, there's a lot of things that would hurt me. But I'm not going to change my mind. And God's like that, only more so. God's like that. He can forgive me and love me no matter what. Because people do let you down. You know, I remember when I told Cara not to wear lipstick, you know. Then she'd get to school, put it on, and then she'd come home, erase it, and, you know, put on the eyeshadow and all that stuff. And I said, you know, don't you do that, you know. No, Dad, you know. With such sweet innocence, you know. Dad, I wouldn't do that. Well, I didn't think you would, honey. Your mother said she saw some stuff on you. No, Dad. Okay, so, good enough. Mom? No, there's no way. You didn't say anything on her. Because I asked her, and she said no. You know, that would go on for months, you know. And then one day, you know, it would all appear, all this stuff. where did all this come from? Oh, that's somebody else put that there. Oh, you just kind of borrowed that? Yeah, Susan Ryan gave me that stuff. Oh, that's it. Praise God. Okay, anyway, there's no guilt. Hello. Isn't it good to have a God? He's guaranteed the future, people. The future is good. I don't care what this earth looks like. Of course, it's a test of your faith. The future is good. The guilt is removed, and the future is guaranteed to be good for you. I mean, it's going to be glorious. Say it. It will be glorious. My future, say it. My future is glorious. Because God's going to exalt you. Don't be afraid. You see, when you know that, where can fear come? When you know that there's no guilt and the future is going to be glorious for you and it's guaranteed by God, where can the fear enter? Nowhere. Fear has no place when the past and the future are taken care of. You can then live in faith. You can then live in joy. You can then live in peace. And that's heaven. That's heaven. And that heaven is what we need here. That's why God did it. He didn't do all this just to make stories and sell stuff at Christmas time. He did this because we needed it. We needed heaven now. We didn't need to wait till heaven. We needed it now. We needed it now by faith, you see. I mean, someday everyone will believe in heaven, even the devil. You see what I mean? I mean, he believes all that. But no. Now, it takes faith to believe it now because it doesn't look like heaven. It looks like guilt and it looks like an uncertain future. I mean, everything on television tells you everything's uncertain. Do you ever hear the guy say, well, one thing's for certain, you know. They don't know anything.
They can't tell you anything for certain. But the Bible tells you everything is for certain. Everything. You know, it tells you everything. That's incredible. When you think about it, that the world can tell you nothing and God tells you everything. What can the world tell you? They don't know anything. We don't know anything. You can't. But isn't that exciting for us? No guilt. The world out there is loaded with fear. Tremendous fear. You know, fear, as I said, is the hardest sin. And it's a sin. Fear is the hardest sin to get rid of, to overthrow. If you can overthrow fear, you can overthrow any other sin. Now listen to me. Fear is number one. It's the most difficult. Not pride, not lust, not anger, all those. Fear. That's the one that's most difficult. If you have no fear, you're blessed. You're blessed. All right. Now let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Okay. Luke. And in the sixth month of what? Sixth month of what? Elizabeth. Elizabeth was going to have a baby. That was Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, also of the house of David. All living in Jerusalem, all in the hills of Judah here. And the prophets had said that the king would come from Judah. He would come out of Judah. In fact, it said even be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. So everybody knew that this was the place it was going to be. Now, this is important because there's no virtue in being poor. There's no virtue in being downtrodden. There's virtue, though, in being poor and downtrodden if you have the word of the Lord that says the king is going to come forth from you or you're going to be exalted. Then there's virtue in it. In other words, if you're right now believing the word of God but not experiencing it all its fullness, that's great. Hello? That's the right way. If you know, don't give up by what you see. It's the word that made Mary different than someone else. It's the fact that she believed the word when it didn't look like it was true. Mary had not, you know, she wasn't going, oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard something about that when I was a little kid. No, she was thinking about this all the time. Who's going to be the mama for the Messiah? Among her people, they were talking it up in Judah, saying, someday Messiah will come. HaMashiach. Someday Messiah will come. And he's going to deliver us from these Romans. Because Mary was thinking like the others that our biggest fear is the outward enemy. The enemy without. The enemy without is not your biggest fear. Physical problems. It's the enemy within that's the biggest enemy. And so Rome was not really the big problem, or cancer, or some other thing outside, an economic collapse, or, you know, something else. The biggest enemy is inside. If you can conquer the enemy inside, you can conquer the world. And I hope you have, because you're going to conquer the world. Hello? You thought Alexander was something. Wait till the people of God get a hold of the truths of God. If Alexander took 10 years to conquer the world, we'll do it in 5. Because God is greater. Something greater than Solomon is here, Jesus said. Something greater than Moses. Something greater than Abraham. There's something greater here. There's something greater. There's glory here. And it's in you. It's in you. To overcome guilt. Say it. I'm not guilty. It's good. You didn't say you didn't feel guilty. You just said you weren't guilty. Because God has pronounced it comfort. Don't be afraid. Now let's listen to Mary, because this is an incredible story of a young girl. She's, you know, we don't know what age she was, but she's probably a teenager. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, same angel, was sent from God, busy guy, unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, but here this girl's in Galilee. But it did say in Isaiah the 9th chapter that a light would shine on the people in Galilee. So here it is. It's just like the Bible said. Exactly. To a virgin, and that was Isaiah the 7th chapter, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Now Joseph was of the house of David. But remember, Joseph was not the real father. Legally, Joseph would be the father, and so Jesus legally could be of the house of David. But Mary was also of the house of David. Therefore, even by blood, Jesus was of the house of David. You can look at the genealogies. So both Mary and Joseph were of the same house. And both of them had line in David's royal family. And yet, nothing had happened now for over 400 years in Israel. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Bitter. Now, Merah in the Hebrew means bitter. Merah. That was Mary's name. Merah. Mary means bitter. It means bitter. So, names are very important in the Bible. And so this fact that her name was bitter is like the angel Gabriel comes to the one who's bitter. Because the life of her people was bitter. And Mary is kind of like a type of the whole people of Israel, saying, comfort this one who's bitter, this one who's been disillusioned. Have you ever been disillusioned? Have you ever been, you know, bitter at this world because it doesn't come up with what, you know, when you're a little kid, I can remember when I was a little kid, and being on the playground, you know, and, you know, just everything's golden. I mean, I can remember it in faded gold terms, you know, and the merry-go-round going around and all the little kids playing, and, you know, I'm just there like a little kid having fun. And to me, the world was great. Till, you know, Bob Bresley come and beat me up. You know, and then that was over with. You know, it's that stinky world. I don't like this world anymore. You know, this little kid starts beating on me. And I'll never forget that for all my days. That in this world, people beat you up at times, you know, and you got to be, you can't beat the devil. You can't win. Hello. And I knew from then on, I'm going to dodge people. You know, I'm going to use my wit and always stay one step ahead of Bresley because he might get me. Hello. Hello. Come on. So, you know, no matter how you do it, you can avoid trouble. But you got to use your wit. You got to stay on your toes. You know, you've got to, you just got to hope for chance or luck or horseshoes or something. I used to have horseshoes and clover leaves and all that. Hello. That's all demonic. But, you know, you kind of surround yourself with power. People like to get special power on something to try to stay safe in this stinking world. Hello. Because it wasn't golden anymore. The little merry-go-round, I didn't like it anymore. They push you off on those merry-go-rounds, you know, you fall off. All right. So life when you're a little kid looks neat for most little kids until, you know, you get to a certain age. But then all of a sudden it starts to fade and it gets better. And you got to have a God. I didn't need God when I was a little kid. I just, you know, make it until things start to happen. Then suddenly, you know, you feel abandoned. You feel, man, I'm all alone. Even all the people that care for me, I better watch out for myself. And one experience after another kind of teaches you that in life, and you become cynical if you're not careful. Hello. Give up all hope. Well, Mary was like this. Mary's name means that there was a bitterness about this world, that the Jews were to be, they were to be something, and here they were at the bottom of the heap. They were down on the bottom, and they were boasting that we're the Jews. And Mary could have boasted, yes, in fact, King David was one of my great, 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 great grandfathers. You know? And Mary was in a low estate at this point. She, you know, was not, you know, just barely paid the bills and, you know, just could get through barely. They were in a desperate situation. And Rome was taking everything. Rome wanted everything. Isn't it amazing how Rome had its own money, but it wanted everybody else's too? I don't know how that happened in those days. It doesn't happen anymore, you know. But in those days, that's the way they were. They were greedy. And Rome just wanted everything it could get its hands on. And it was constantly incurring debt because it was making wars. And wars make for poverty. And the nation that makes wealth, which is the United States, out of war, because it takes up the sword, it'll die by the sword. You know, the economy of this country is not any longer based upon the hard work of farmers and small entrepreneurs. It's based now upon war, the machinery of war, the industrial, you know, military complex. That's what controls and makes the nation. If you want to be good again, have a war. Because that's all we make. The only thing we export in this country is war. I'm serious. We don't export grain. Grain doesn't make anything. The only thing, and that's part of war anyway. It's all part of manipulation. The only thing we really export is weapons, just like Russia. What does Russia have but war? The two greatest nations on the earth, the only economy they have is war. we've got to have wars to keep going. And do you realize that's where your wealth is coming from? You don't have it anymore because we're not fighting wars right now. We need a few wars. Hello? And then we'll get back again. The farmers will be able to produce again. You know, we got to destroy a few nations and kill off a bunch of people and sell them airplanes all over the place and so on. Then we can make money again. Hello, are you listening to me? We're not working anymore by the sweat of our brow. We're working on the backs of others by destroying other nations. And all this talk of peace is all baloney. It's only to put everybody to sleep, you know, so they're not looking. And all this loaning, it's only so they'll buy more of our stuff. Hello. Anyway, this world can make you bitter like Mary. And Mary's name was bitter, but Mary herself was just a young girl. She didn't really know the bitterness of life, but she'd already experienced a lot of it. She'd already experienced a lot of it, but she was a young girl looking forward to marrying Joseph. How many know marriage is a great experience? Well, she's going to have a few surprises, you know. But, you know, she, at this point, she wasn't thinking too much about that. And the angel came in unto her and said, now, when it says come in unto her, it's like she's in a house, probably doing dishes or something. And it said, hail, thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. What an amazing statement. This angel comes and says, hail. And now this is really neat that this angel does this, because the angel looks like a person. It comes in and says, hail, thou that are highly favored. Now what that means is, Mary doesn't know the love of God. She doesn't know that God loves her unconditionally. There's nothing could ever tell her that. All of Judaism was built on blood. That when you sin, you've got to get the blood to cover you and so on and so forth. So there's no way she could hear. So the angel could have come and said, hail, you know, you're about to get it. But he didn't. He said, thou art highly favored. And she's listening to these words and thinking, well, what could this mean? What do you mean, highly favored? The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What an amazing statement to make to her. And so Mary's thinking about this. Imagine this coming to you right now, thinking about this. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Thou art blessed forever. Why, what a statement. Hello. You know that's being said to you? The same thing is being said to you. This guarantee that Mary got, nobody had ever gotten a word like that. It's a tremendous word. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast about in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. How many know your mind, it can work. You know, it can get to work. Your mind can get you all messed up. How many know we have clever minds and, you know, we start to take our minds seriously sometimes. So she's casting in her mind what kind of salutation this is. I've never been addressed like this before. You know, nobody's ever said, hail, highly favored one. You know, God is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Well, what a statement, you know. And so she's trying to think this thing out. How many know the mind is not going to help? You can't grasp this thing. You know, you got to be simple in life. Life is not complicated. It's simple. The complicated miss it. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel, knowing that Mary was trying to think it out, isn't that neat of God? He's always anticipating what we're going to do. And the angel already has, he's kind of going like, Jesus did this all the time. He'd always say, I know what you guys are thinking. You know, is this what's troubling you? You know, he would often say that to his disciples, and they were going, that's exactly what we were thinking. Oh, we weren't going to say anything. But this angel anticipates her and says, and the angel said unto her, fear not. Phobos, phobia, is a Greek word. Phobeo. Don't be afraid. Another way to say it would be this. Believe not. Fear is the same as faith. Say that. Fear is faith. Fear is faith in what the devil's telling you. See? When you're believing the devil, you're afraid. Because that's what he's telling you. And so God comes along and says, fear not. Don't have faith in what the devil told you. Don't have faith in what you just thought. Don't have faith in what you're feeling. Don't have faith in anything but what I'm telling you. I just told you, blessed art thou. And that word in the Greek is makarioi. That is, happy art. Happy art thou. First word to her comes down. This angel comes down and says, happy are you. And Mary's going, my name is Bitter. He comes down and says, happy are you. This woman's name was Bitter, and the first word out of the angel's mouth is, hi, happy. See, happy art thou, because thou art blessed among all women. Thou art the most blessed. And she's going, wow, what kind of a statement is this? Don't you know my name is Bitter? It's Mara. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. I like the fact that he used her word, her name. Fear not, Bitter. Fear not, Mara. Fear not. Don't be afraid, Mary. You know, he didn't just say, fear not. He used her name. For thou hast found favor with God. And Mary's trying to figure out, well, how did I do that? What, you know, I'm only 16 or something. You know, how did I find favor with God? What did I do? You know, I didn't do anything. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Now Mary knows she's a good girl. Mary knows that she's betrothed to Joseph, but they haven't done anything. Mary is clean. And here this angel comes down and says, and you're going to have a baby. And she's going, wait a minute, just a minute here. Back up. What did you say? Oh, maybe you're talking about the future. But she knew the way the angel was talking, he was saying something that was really current. She's thinking, well, we're not going to get married for a little while yet. Are you sure you got this right? And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And then this is, thou shalt call his name Yeshua. Now she knew what that word meant. That meant a savior. Yeah, which I told you is the name for God. God delivers. God sets free the guilty. God prospers the little one. God takes care of his people. Can you hear it? This is what the name Jesus means. Jesus, the name Yeshua, actually has all that meaning in it, and she would know that. She would know that God was coming to her and that she was of the royal house, and she knew that a baby was going to be born, and he was going to favor the people and would take away all the sins and would prosper them and lift them up above the nations. Hello. And she also knew that all the nations would be on the same level. She didn't just think the Jews were going to be lifted up. She wasn't a Zionist. Because the prophets were very clear about this, that every valley would be lifted and every mountain would be brought down, and the glory of the Lord will be seen by all men. This is very clear in the Old Testament. So Mary, you know, I don't think she's conscious of all this, but this is all going on in her mind as she's listening to these words. He, that is the son that shall be born in you, shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, the reason a throne is good, saviors don't sit on thrones. Saviors take care of the guilt, the past. But thrones are for the future. They guarantee that I'm going to win. So now, this Jesus is not only going to be deliverer, but he's also going to have a throne of his father David to guarantee, take care of the past and to guarantee the future. That's why thou art blessed, because you're going to be the mother that's going to bring this forth. Do you realize that's your job, all of you? That you have birthed inside of you that same son, that same Jesus, that same Savior. And wherever you go, you can birth that son forth in whatever situation you're in and tell people Jesus has come to forgive you and Jesus has come to assure you of blessedness. Do you see that? That Mary is like a type of all of us. And you have that same birth in you. You have that seed in you. You have the Word in you, that living Word that can bring life and hope and salvation and Jesus and throne to every situation you're in. And that's why this throne, which was out of Daniel, if you want to know about this throne, you can read Daniel. This throne was going to be an everlasting throne. Everybody knew that in the time when Messiah was born, there would be an everlasting kingdom set up. And Mary said, this is it. From now on, it's going to be uphill all the way. Everything's going to go right. And you know, she was excited. She was excited. And so she says to him, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Well, she knew about that. That's all in the book of Isaiah. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, how can I have a baby when, you know, Joseph and I are just engaged? How can that be? Now, listen to this answer, because this takes faith. This takes faith. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, I wouldn't have believed that if I were a girl. This is a little strange way of doing it. But then on the other hand, you know, if you're kind of superstitious, you might believe it. Hello? Well, you know, who knows how things happen. But I tell you, it took faith to believe that this Holy Ghost could have done this. And that she would have a baby born of the Holy Ghost and not of Joseph. Now, she's not dumb. She's not thinking, well, when I tell everybody this baby's from the Holy Ghost, they'll all rejoice. She's thinking about this. Hey, wait a minute now. First of all, Joseph ain't going to buy that. He's not going to say this is of the Holy Ghost. Then, second of all, the other people aren't going to buy this. All my relatives here in Bethlehem, I mean, it's a small town. Or in Nazareth, you know. It is a small town. They're not going to buy that story. And so, you know, she's thinking about it, but her main focus now is that she believes. It's an amazing thing that she's caught up in the Word. I'll tell you, when you're in the Word, people, you can believe. Because the Word causes faith. It's amazing what we can believe when you start reading the world, realizing this is the real world right here, not the world you see and experience. How many have transferred over into that Word? You know, that's the real Word. If you're living still in this world, you are in fear. But if you transferred over into the Word, you are in faith. If you're walking on water in this world, you're going to sink. But if you're walking on the Word, in the world we're talking about, you can walk on water. There's nothing you can't do. Nothing you can't do. Hello. Now, look, what I'm telling you is we're not talking here about Bible stories. God is going to do, I mean, visitation. This was a visitation. This was not a rhema. She wasn't reading the Bible. She wasn't reading her scroll, you know, getting out her Jewish scroll, or, you know, reading Isaiah or something, or Daniel, and then interpreting it. This was an angel came to her. Supernatural visitation from God. This is our day, people. The day you're living in, we are going to again see supernatural visitations. Now, the charismatic movement did not have a lot of supernatural visitations. It had a lot of people believing the Word of God. It had a lot of people practicing the Word of God. It had a lot of rhemas going off, and people started to believe it and take a hold of it. And, of course, God was doing things as people believed, as they spoke the Word. But we have yet to see supernatural visitation in the form that God is about to display. Are you understanding me? It's not just prophecies about what's going to happen. I'm talking about visitations. Because this is what we need. We don't just need to read the Bible and believe it. You can shout all day, you know, name it, claim it, frame it, and blame it on God. You can shout all day about stuff that's in here, but that isn't going to do it. There's a lot of stuff in here. I mean, you can do that too. By the way, that's okay too. But there's a lot of things in here that aren't going to come that way. You must do the other. I mean, that's fine. But not the blaming part, but all the rest. I didn't know if you caught that. And so the angel says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overcome thee, overshadow thee. There also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of Man? No, the Son of God. What an amazing thing for Mary to believe. And then he says to make sure she realizes this thing is real. Because you see, whenever God tells you something, how can you believe a thing like that? Even if you did, you'd doubt it the next second. But the angel tells her, now I'm going to give you a piece of information that's going to blow you away, and it'll kind of give you an idea that we're on the right track. He says, you remember your sister, your cousin Elizabeth? Yeah. You remember how she didn't have any kids? Yeah. Well, she's already 6 months into it. She is? You know, I mean, now that's amazing because she's old. She's beyond, you know, repair. This thing couldn't be. This is like Abraham and Sarah thing. This is really something. So, you know, if I could go and see that, that would strengthen my faith. You see? So the fact that Elizabeth had hidden this thing, she hadn't even told anybody, but she's already 6 months. And you know, at 6 months, you're not hiding too much. But she's staying in the house, you see? She's not coming out. But here's this thing. So Mary, boy, this is really exciting. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. You remember her name was barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say it. Nothing shall be impossible for me, for you. Nothing's going to be impossible. Do you realize God is going to do... We're not interested now in 2,000 years ago. That's a story. It's a real story. It's true. But we're not interested in that. That happened 2,000 years ago. I want to know what's happening today, now, and in the future. Because that baby that came so inauspiciously, I mean, he very crude, very, you know, wonderful. That's a neat story because that encourages me. But I want to know, what does that mean for me now, right now? Well, this is what it means, is that God is about, again, to do these kinds of things. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, what a statement. Well, we've all got to make this statement. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold me. Be it unto me according to thy word. You remember Peter said that in the boat that time when Jesus had to go fishing. And he said, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. I've said that about the church. I said, well, you know, we worked so hard and we've just done nothing. And okay, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the nets. And he got the biggest catch ever. I mean, we've toiled all night. I mean, we toiled. We fasted. We prayed. We preached. We believed. We said it. We spoke it. We named it. We claimed it. We did it. Nothing. It didn't go anywhere. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that? No, don't you thrill about that? We were right in target. You know, we're right online. Isn't it great that nothing happened? Seriously. I mean, everything went wrong. It not only didn't happen, it went backwards. Hello. It didn't. You know, I mean, I remember when it was 3 years, I said, well, the third year. And then it was four. I said, well, four is for the four corners of the world or something. And five is for, you know. And six is the number of man. And seven is the fullness, you know. And it never happened. Hello. I mean, I was making up numbers, you know. Hello. Helping God out. Because I said, well, God, let's see. You haven't done it yet. So, oh, I get it. Trying to figure God out. Hello. Hello. Now I figured it out. Okay. It's going to be eight. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now remember, this was a living word. It's not in the Bible. It's not in a book. Now, we have this word today. And therefore, we don't need this again because you have it now. And the angel departed from her. Boy, no long talk there. Just got his thing out, said it right away, and it was over with. That's the way God is. God always tells you up front what the whole issue is. He never builds up his case. The devil does. Remember the devil said to Eve, he said, did God say you can't eat of the tree? And she goes, yeah. And he says, oh, well, that's not true, and so on. And he gets to his point, you see. But God never does that. God always gets right to the point immediately. Now, you ought to be that way. You ought to be that way. Tell up front what you want. Just be up front right away. This is what I want. You know, don't say, well, maybe they won't give it to me, so I'll kind of build it up. Hello. Just say up front. And you'll probably lose, you know, but that's all right. Be up front right away. This is what I want. And let God vindicate you then. Hello. Hello. Just be right up front. You know, don't beat around the bush. Just come right up front. You know, Peggy and I have had a lot of wars over that. She's always beating around the bush, you know. I say, well, come right out with it. Well, you don't like me. That's it now, isn't it? You know, it finally comes out, you know. All right, now, I mean, now let's get on with it. Hello. I just made that up. And it shall came, and this is good. 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. Boy, that's good. When God speaks to you, act at once. What's the temptation always? Well, I'm going to wait this thing. I want to check this thing out. I want to see if this thing is going to be, you know. Don't wait. Just jump right into it. She's a teenager, you know, so she had that kind of energy. But just go for it right away. When God speaks to you, go for it. Just call up right away. Call up immediately. Hello. Get on with it. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, salute doesn't mean, you know, this kind of thing. It was hail, you know, that's the way they said it in those days. They had a little salutation, you know, greetings, praise the Lord. We say praise the Lord sometimes, or God bless you, or something. Well, that's the way they did it. Hail. Hail, Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation, you know, no great depth in that thing. When she just heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, that's amazing that this little boy was already a boy, you know, no sonograms. I knew already this was going to be a boy. 6 months, you know, a lot of times, you know, you're checking it. Oh, it's kicking hard, must be a boy, or, you know, this kind of thing. But no, the angel had told her this would be a boy and his name is John. John was already a person. from the day he was conceived, not the day he was born. He was a person. So no abortion here. You know, none of this stuff that they're not yet formed or, you know, this is a person with feeling, with grasping. Now, I don't care if you know how this works. It's obvious that the baby recognized Jesus. It wasn't Elizabeth that leaped, you know. I hope she didn't leap, you know. It was the baby that leaped in her womb when Mary walked in and said, "Hail, Elizabeth." And the baby immediately leaped, not because of Mary, but because of Jesus. The babe leaped. Now listen what Elizabeth, did. I've read over and over and over again what Elizabeth heard from the angel, and she didn't hear any of this. So this came from the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, "Blessed art thou among women." I don't know if it was that loud, but she was loud. You know, the idea, she was excited. You know, she just came right out. Just, "Blessed art thou among women." You know, it wasn't none of those. You know, it was really, she's declaring this thing. I'm excited. And this just comes right out of the Holy Ghost. This was not Elizabeth speaking. This was the Holy Ghost, because I'm telling you, these are supernatural things. Hello? It's supernatural. It doesn't mean her mind isn't working, but she's just kind of opening her mouth and this is coming right out. Have you ever experienced that? Where, you know, someone's asking you something and all of a sudden you just open your mouth and this wisdom comes out and you think, boy, that's not me. I didn't even know that. And they're thinking, well, thank you. That was the answer. And you're going, wow, I didn't even hear that. You know, I better go later and ask them what I said, because I don't even know what I said. And that, doesn't that happen? Sure, that's part of the power of God. And she spake out with a loud voice, said, "Blessed art thou among women." Now that's exactly the word that the angel spoke to Mary. How could Elizabeth have known? I mean, those are the very word that the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary was, "Blessed art thou among women." This is the very word. Boy, don't you think Mary was impressed when she heard Elizabeth repeating the very same words? She's going, wow, this is of God. Because Elizabeth couldn't have known that. Elizabeth was not told that Mary would be the mother of this other child and so on. She was only told, yes, there will be. But she didn't know anything about virgin births or anything like this. Elizabeth didn't know anything about that. All she had was the scripture and what the angel had said. And boy, right away, she's speaking as though she understands everything. "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." She keeps saying blessed all the time. It means happy. Oh, I like this, because this is what we need in this world, is happiness. Hello, say it, I'm happy. We can have a happy world in the midst of this ugly, awful world, because we live in a world without end. We're not living in the other world that's passed away and is passing away. We're living in another world. There's two worlds going on. The world I'm part of is never going to end. Right? That other world is passing away. Good for it. Good riddance for it. "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Now Mary was not even one day pregnant, or you know, maybe a day or a week or something. How did she know she was pregnant? And she knew that Joseph had not, she knew what kind of girl Mary was. How could she know that? Incredible. This is the Holy Ghost. There's no way Elizabeth could have known. She just walked in the door and said, "Hey, Elizabeth," and boom, right away, she knows all this stuff. How? It's incredible. Do you see there's a God? People, I'm trying to impress you with the fact that we're not living in the world you see. We're living in another world. And we haven't seen it yet. The fact that he's been quiet 400 years in the Bible and the fact that he's been quiet for a long time in our land as well. Oh, yes, there's a few witnesses here and there and God keeps going on and so on. He is not doing what he really wants to do. There's greater glory yet to come. Hello? I mean greater. And I'm going to see it with my eyes. I know. I will see it in the land of the living. I'm going to see it. "And whence is this to me?" Now listen to this. "That the mother of my Lord should come to me." Boy, how did she know that? Who told her? It's not in the angel's announcement. The angel didn't announce that. But she knew. She made the connection as soon as she walked in. Oh, my baby just told me. I mean, that baby didn't tell her anything. But when the baby leapt, she knew right away and said, not only did Mary walk in, but the Holy Ghost entered into Elizabeth. Which indicates why she could say these words. Even Elizabeth thought, wow, what am I saying? But she said, "Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And why is this that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" And she's just going on and on like this. It's incredible. "For lo," now she's going to explain it, "as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Now, I mean, how do you know joy? When that baby kicks, how do you know it's joy versus kicking, you know, like ouch? But somehow, Elizabeth absolutely knew this baby's excited, like, woohoo, you know. That little John in there, he was 6 months old, you know, and he's going, woohoo. You know, he was excited. He leaped, it said. You know, imagine little John in there leaping. Hello. Come on, now, you women can picture this better than I can, but, you know, I mean, that little baby was excited. Hey, that's us, people. We're excited, aren't we? I mean, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. I'm excited. When the Lord's here, jump for joy. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. That chases away fear. That chases away doubt. That chases away guilt. That chases away an uncertain future. Man, I've got it made. Say it, I've got it made. Amen. There's joy in us. All right? And blessed is she that believed. There's the key right there, faith. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. How did she know? She didn't say to me, Elizabeth, guess what? The angel came to me the other night, Gabriel. You know, she didn't even discuss this with her. Just walked in the door and said, hey, Elizabeth. And all this Elizabeth knew. And blessed is she that believed that the Lord would perform everything that he told you. That's the issue in our day, people. That God is going to perform his word. Sandy, God has called you to preach. To preach. Blessed is he that believeth what God has said. Blessed is he. I tell you, everything tells you, well, don't believe that. You're not going to have a baby like this, and this is not going to be the mother of my Lord. And, you know, nobody, she didn't even say, well, how do incarnations happen? You know, she didn't even say, well, you know, now how's this miracle? You know, she didn't even ask all that. They just right away believed. Hello, this is the Holy Ghost. This is the other world. This is not the natural world. Now, these people are thinkers. They're not dumb. It's not like they're, you know, just opening their mouths like puppets or something. They're thinking, because she's explaining to her, as soon as you're, let me explain to you, Mary, as soon as you walked in and said, hail, boy, my baby leaped for joy. And she's explaining all this to Mary. And Mary's just listening, and Mary opens her mouth, and she's suddenly filled with the Holy Ghost. And here's what she says. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. In other words, I'm full. You know, she just walked in. Boy, what a greeting. What a way to come to somebody's house. Hail, and all this stuff just open the mouth and just all this stuff pours out. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now she knows, see, if Mary had been a good girl, she wouldn't need a Savior. Hello. You don't need a Savior unless you're in sin. Now Mary was only 16 or something. She hadn't done too much yet. How did she know? Because I tell you, people, we know, deep down we know we're not right with God. We're not one with God. If we hear the law, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, you're not right. But Mary knew this, and she had no problem just coming out with this, that we need a Savior. We're in trouble, bondage to Rome, and, you know, in debt, and everything's not going right, and I hardly want to even get married, you know. But I tell you, now that I've heard about the hope, oh, I tell you, I believe in hope. I know Rome is going to be thrown down. I know there's going to be hope. I know Jesus is coming. Suddenly everything's working out great. Isn't that what we want, people? That's what I want. I want to know that in this world, I don't have to take second place. And it's not because I'm afraid of being down. It's just that, isn't it neat that God doesn't want me to be down? He wants me to be exalted to the highest. He doesn't want me to ever be second rate. Hello. God doesn't make any junk. God doesn't make things that are second rate. God doesn't have any plans for a second tier. You know, like the Indians, they have these caste systems, you know, the high muckety-muck Brahmins, and then the next guys, and on down the road till you get to the untouchables. Jesus doesn't have any group like that. We're all, you know, at the top. Isn't that neat? God alone is exalted because it's God, isn't it? The reason that it has to be that way is because there's only one God. And I don't have a life of my own. He bought me. He named me. He gave me a new name. Even his name. I'm exhibiting and displaying and showing forth God. That's my life. I'm happy with that life now. I used to want to be independent, be alone, be my own thing and so on. I don't want that anymore. I don't believe in that. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. In other words, when you're in trouble, when you're sick, when you're confused, when you're depressed, when you're down, God knows you. And God is doing everything he can to set you free. And he's made available that help, that hope. That's what Christmas is all about, is God will show up on time Anybody who's dark, anybody who's experiencing any hopelessness, guilt, uncertainty about the future, whatever it is, he's going to come and say, don't be afraid. Amen. He's going to come and say, blessed art thou. He's going to come and say, you know, it's all going to be all right. The double's been paid. Be comforted. There's no other word with God. He's not coming to say, you're going to get it now. You know, boy, you promised me you were going to do this, and I caught you. Remember how he got Adam and Eve in the garden? Boy, you know, when they heard God coming in the garden, they got scared. And they hiding behind some, you know, tree, you know, some oak tree or something, you know, trying to hide behind it. Say, God can't see us now. You know, here he comes. He's looking at us, you know. And God, you know, was looking out of the corner of his eye and around the tree and over it and around it and under it and everything. And he was looking right through the tree, you know, and he could see him. And he pretends, you know, God's pretending because he loves him. Adam, where are you? You know, he doesn't grab him. I would have done it. I would have just gone like this. I saw you all the time. I saw you hiding behind a tree. Do you think you could hide from me? Now, you're going to get it. You know, that's the way I'd have done it. I'd have got, you know, and that's what I think God's going to do to me. Here I am hiding behind this thing. See, he can't see me, you know, and he's seeing everything. And he's coming in and he's a father and he loves them. And all he wants them to do is say, and the one thing they didn't say, is, forgive us, we sinned. But they don't say that. They go, it's a woman. The woman, she did it, you know. And the snake, he did it, you know. And they're lying all over the place and everything. And God just, you know, he's just, okay, thank you, Adam. You didn't do it? Okay. Eve, you didn't do it either? Okay. Snake, all right, you're. And he curses the snake, and there's Adam and Eve, you know, just thinking, oh, God, you know, we lied, and, you know. And then, you know, God provides for them, and he makes skins. He says, what are you doing with these fig leaf things? You know, let's get a real industry going here. And he goes out and kills something and closes them up. God has always been a father to us, right? Even when he got them, he had them cold there. He had them red-handed. He didn't do anything. He just was loving toward them. Isn't that an amazing father? Isn't that our God? God never is out to get you. Even the people that were killing Jesus, what did Jesus say to them? You know, he could have said, I'm going to get you guys when I get down. You know. And, you know, because they said, if you're the Son of God, come down there. And I could, you know, I would want to try to get, all right, ha! You know, and, you know, and he didn't do that. You know, he just said, Father, forgive them. And he let them win. This is amazing love. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have wanted to. I want vengeance right then, there, on the spot. Ha ha! You know, but God isn't like that. This is not us, people. This is God. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, God is so good. This is what Christmas is. It's come down to say, this dark world, I'm going to brighten it up. You know, even the world can grasp this. They know Christmas has something to do with fun, and so they make up Santa Claus because they don't like God. But the point is, God is better than Santa Claus. Amen. Santa Claus is if you're good and if you're bad. Yeah. Santa Claus is law. You know, you better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Because Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. God isn't like that. He already knows who's naughty. And he loves you naughty people. Hello? And he has no sticks and no coal, you know, and all the stuff that people practice. That is paganism. It's pagan, all of that. That's why we don't believe in Santa Claus. I'm sorry if there's any little kids here. But, you know, I believed in Santa Claus till I was 12. I told people the other night. I said, you know, I was 12 years old before I knew there wasn't Santa Claus. I was laying in bed there, and I heard something, and I looked up, and there's my parents making gifts and stuff. And I thought, golly, there's Santa Claus, you know. That was the first time, you know, I was 12 years old and didn't know anything. Hello? Hey, I'm sure I was the oldest kid who didn't know there was a Santa Claus, but I didn't. And, you know, that amazed me. My gosh, my parents are the ones that are loving me. You know, and, you know, from then on, you know, hey, I don't believe in that Santa Claus thing anymore. Then I needed something more. I needed a God now. I needed someone bigger than just my folks. You know, they might let me down. Hello. So God is loving. God came to Mary. He came to all these people. Now, what's exciting to me is not what he did back here. What's exciting is that same God is with us today. Mary is still blessed to me today. I'm still excited about what she said and how this all came out of her. And she, you know, she goes on and talks all about how the rich people are going to be sent empty away and the little people are going to be exalted. And, you know, in other words, God is a God of justice. Whatever is wrong in this world, God is just. But he is not out to condemn the wicked. He's out to save them. He wants to change them. Our idea is let's get on top and get the guys that are on top on the bottom and then laugh at them. It's not God's way. God's way is to save all if possible. that we all might be rich, that we all might be well, that we all might be happy, that we all might be free from guilt. When I see one person under guilt, it hurts me. Hello. I don't like to see anybody down. It hurts. And there's an excitement in me. Hey, something can be done here. We can do it. This can be done. God has made a way. So don't be afraid any longer. Say it, I'm not afraid. There is no guilt. My future is guaranteed. I am not uncertain. I'll never be uncertain. Though I feel uncertain, I'll never be uncertain. God has a reward that cannot be taken away. All my enemies shall be cast away. Hallelujah. That's why David, it was said, you're going to receive the throne of David. You know why? Because in the Bible, David is the one guy that did away with all the enemies. Not Solomon. David demolished all the enemies. And that's why it said, how could you have peace about a certain future if there were any enemies left? Every enemy, disease, poverty, death, Satan, hell, you know, every enemy has to be put down. That's why it says Jesus has a throne that's greater than anybody else's, and it'll never end. And that's already started. That started way back there. He was given the throne. He lived on the earth to prove that he was worthy. That's why he lived on the earth. He didn't get the throne when he was on the earth. Then he went to heaven and he got the throne. Now he's sitting down on the throne. Now he's worthy. Now he's reigning, and already everything's going our way. If he's reigning, what are you worried about? There's no way the enemy can ever get you now, because what he said, he did. And though you haven't seen it yet, blessed are you if you believe that God will perform everything that he said. I tell you, the next few years are going to be the most exciting in the history of the world. And you people are part of it. You're going to see it. You're going to be part of what God is doing. The whole earth is going to gather together. The enemies are going to gather together. The good people are going to be gathered together. It's going to be the most exciting time ever. But boy, if you don't have God, you're going to get caught up in the wrong way. You'll get enmeshed in the wheel. Get into what God's doing, and this is it. Don't be afraid. Have faith in God. That's the miracle of Christmas. Faith is the miracle of Christmas, not the virgin birth.